Hi everybody. Obviously, I'm Colette Osborne from Salaries United, and I have the amazing Chris Guy with me today, a legal 500 lawyer, no less. Chris, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Hello, thanks Colette. Nice to meet you all. I'm Chris Guy, Director at RL Case Solicitors here. We're based in Birmingham, but we offer services nationwide, particularly in the hair and beauty sector. You might remember us from fighting all the insurance companies during the COVID-19 pandemic on behalf of the hair and beauty sector, particularly with the big salon gold fight. That's us, and we're here to help you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Chris. So we're here today, Chris, and I wanted to ask you some questions. So while I've got you captive, I wanted to talk about the employment law. We've got a lot of changes coming up with the Employment Rights Bill. Chris, tell me about employment contracts. I know there's a lot out there, and we say that, you know, generic contracts are falling over in tribunals and other areas. They're like the box colour of the employment law world. Why? What's the difference between a generic contract and a bespoke contract?
Yeah, the big difference really is in legal terms. The law is so wide. Everything falls down to the individual particular circumstances of the case. So you can't just have a one size fits all, because everybody's different. The way that they operate, how they trade, the work that they do, how, you know, their policies, procedures, they're all different. And I see so many people fall down by just using a template. They don't alter anything to make it bespoke, and it just doesn't fit. It's just not a one size fits all. And what I also see in your industry a lot is a lack of written contracts. There are no contracts. And when there is no contract, that's even worse, because it's just totally open for abuse. Yeah. So really good idea for them to be tailored.
Yeah. I mean, is it true? Because obviously my understanding is that you have to give an employment contract on day one. So it's better to get this all sorted way before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just for the salon owners out there, Chris, because I think everybody thinks it's difficult and that it protects the employee. You do an amazing job of making sure everything's in there so that we've got contracts that actually, you know, work for the employer as well. Obviously, protecting the employee's rights is a statutory law. But what kind of protections can we put in there to make sure salons are protected against some of the biggest things that you see?
Yeah, there are always statutory rights for employees. That's a given. But you should always take steps to protect yourself. We act for the hair salon, the barber. Those are our clients, the employer. So we'll always act in your best interest to put your protection in place to look after you. So things like restrictive covenants, things like record keeping, policies, procedures, help you not fall foul of that disguised employment, worker versus self-employed scenario, which is rife in your industry. That's what it's all there for. Confidentiality is a real big one as well. You don't want somebody, you know, rent a chair in your salon, nicking all of your clients, let alone an employee, but you know, somebody that's self-employed. That's the last thing you want. So confidentiality, restrictive covenants, those sort of things are really, really important. And then everything from, you know, sick pay to holidays to, you know, all of that soft touch sort of stuff, that can really affect your business and trade. So that's got to be protected.
That's brilliant, Chris, because you know what? It's one of the areas that, let's be honest, you know, we're all here to cut hair and we're not a legal 500 lawyer, but they're going to doubt you could do a disconnected bob or anything else. But it's really important what you just said there, because generic contracts really do kind of come back to bite you, basically. And we've seen that a lot in salons, especially the employment tribunals. You mentioned there about employment status, and we know that the Employment Rights Bill, they're actually aligning worker and employment status. Do you think that's going to cause problems for our industry?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, it's still to be confirmed, but it's absolutely going to change matters. So now is the best time to be prepared for it. So if you can get yourself lined up legally now, you're in the best possible position that when things do change, at least you're at least halfway there. Without doubt.
So I think what we need to do is tell people what to do then, because I think what's really important is on SOU we've obviously got the statutory contract, because like Chris said, just like you performing a color correction, you know, if somebody comes with a box color on their hair, you've got to do different things. So what we need to do here is, I think, you know, from salon owner's point of view, we're not doing a very hefty fee every month just for your lawyers. But what we are doing is you do obviously get your statutory contract. And if you just want a statutory contract, that's fine. But if you want protections in place for your business, that's where you can actually engage with RRK for a fee. They will write your contract. So then you're kind of set up, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then what happens if there's any kind of, do you actually recommend a review period as the business is changing?
Or absolutely. Yeah, there's probation periods. Every contract is different, whether you're a manager to an apprentice to, you know, you might be multiple sites. That has a factor to take into account as well. The size of your business, turnover, there's so many variables.
Mm. So you'll do, so basically if somebody comes to you and says, if I came to you, Chris, and said, Chris, right, here's my contract. I know it's a one-off fee for the actual, for doing the kind of work, which is accepted. So I come to you, I bring this to you, and you basically say, right, tell me about your business. Tell me how you trade. Have you got your policies? What protections do you need? And everything else, so that you've not got that risk of a generic contract that's basically indeed not worth the paper it's written on in most cases.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so what we'll do is, after this, is anybody that's watching this now, you'll see in your guide how you can contact RLK and how you can get that protection in place. We do highly recommend it. Obviously, you know, if you've already joined SOU, and if you haven't joined SOU, because that way you can obviously get, as part of your membership for SOU, you can get quite a few resources and documents, plus access to lawyers who really, really, truly have got your back. So I just want to say thank you for your time, Chris. I think this really helps people. And, you know, watch out for more clips on how to help you manage your business. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.